as soon as we pulled up, the rain just started coming down.
And we had one umbrella in the car, but I was a little late, so I had a rush to get in. So I said, okay, well, I guess my wife gets the umbrella, the baby gets the umbrella, and I'm going to have to come in by myself. Needless to say, I was soaked coming inside the building. I say that to say that the Spirit speaks in mysterious ways. Listen to his voice, because if you're not careful, you might get caught in the rain. Now, let's open up our Bibles yet again to Amos chapter 7. And I'll read in your hearing verses 10 through 15. That's Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. And I'm reading the English Standard Version. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. The title of our sermon this morning is Checks and Balances. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much again for blessing us this morning, for allowing us to be able to make it here safely. We're just asking, O Lord, that you would fill us, that you would touch us, Lord, with your voice. Speak to us through your word, Lord. Use me now. I'm your vessel. Fill me up, O God, and speak through me so that we can hear from you this morning. We love you, O God, and thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you all recall, our theme for this month is one purpose. So as I was studying and going through and talking to the Lord about a sermon, a question popped in my mind, especially when I found this text. And the question is, how can I find and carry out my purpose in a place where the people that surround me have forgotten that purpose? And I don't only have the people that are around me forgotten that purpose, but they have literally replaced the purpose that God has given them with the purpose of their own. This is the question that I believe Amos had as he was being raised in this land of Israel. At this point in time, when Amos first began to prophesy in the northern kingdom of Israel, Israel had been separated. You had the northern kingdom, like I said, of Israel that was ruled by the king Jeroboam II, and the southern kingdom of Judah, which was being ruled by King Uzziah. Now, during this time in Israel's history, it was actually a wonderful and prosperous period. You see, the Assyrians had been taxing the Israelites, both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, for a very long time. And at this point in time, the Assyrians had began to lose power. So as they lost their power, Israel and Judah began to gain their power back. And specifically, the northern kingdom of Israel, when you look in the book of 2 Kings, you find that Jeroboam II began to take back some of the land that they had lost to the Assyrians. So Israel began to gain their land back. The economy started running again, and they started to gain more money. It was a really prosperous and wonderful and amazing time, especially, again, for the northern kingdom of Israel, because they were bigger than Judah. They had a better commerce system than Judah. And so as the kingdom flourished, the people began to think that God was on their side. They continued to go to the temple that was in Bethel. They continued to worship God and worship during the festivals. They continued to give their monies, give their tithe, and they just knew that God was happy with them. They just knew that God was blessing them. As they would continue to worship God, they would hear prophecies about this day of the Lord that was to come. And they knew that when the day of the Lord would come, that their enemies would be put under their feet and that they would rule the world with power and strength with God. And so when Amos first comes on the scene, when you start to read Amos chapter 1, you see Amos fulfilling this prophecy in the way that he's speaking. The things that he's saying go right along with the way the people of Israel feel. He starts preaching against the Edomites and the Philistines and the Moabites, and he's preaching and everyone is on board with the words that he's saying. But suddenly Amos's prophecies begin to turn. And instead of speaking against their evil neighbors, all of a sudden, Amos starts talking about the evils that are in Judah. So the people in Bethel are listening, but okay, Amos. Then he begins to turn again, and he begins to speak about the evils that are in Israel. He specifically begins to speak about the evils that are in Bethel. Now, at this point, the people are upset. Why in the world is Amos talking about us? It's obvious that God is pleased with us because look at what's going on. Look around us. We've got money. We've got land. Our enemies have been decreased. We're being increased. We're going to the feast. We're paying our tithe. What's the problem? So Amos begins to preach. Amos begins to talk about the problem. And God, through Amos, begins to speak. And what God says is he's not worried about your religious system, even though the religious system in Bethel was evil. I'll get to that in a second. The problem that God had with the people that were in Israel, specifically the people that were in Bethel, is that they were not taking care of each other. They were not taking care of the poor. They were not taking care of the disenfranchised. And as a matter of fact, the rich people that were in Bethel, that were worshiping in the temple, had literally created a system of oppression and stood on the backs of the poor. And so that they could gain money, they continued to push the poor down. God was upset with this. And what we find in Amos chapter 5 is this. God says, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs to the melody of your harps. I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God was upset with the people of Israel because they had replaced the purpose that God had given them with the purpose of their own. You see, the people of Israel were supposed to be a light in the world. They were supposed to show the people of the world the true God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of creation. And they were supposed to do this not only through their rituals, but through their actions. Because it was through their actions that the people of the world could see the true character of God. So when the people began to get away from those actions of taking care of the poor, of taking care of the widows, of taking care of the disenfranchised, they began to step away from the character of God. They began to step away from the purpose of God, which is to be a witness and a light in the world. And they replaced that purpose with the purpose of gaining money, the purpose of gaining land, the purpose of gaining power. They replaced God with themselves. You see, like I said, I was going to talk to you about this place, Bethel. Yes, there was a temple in Bethel. And yes, the people that were in Bethel worshiped God. But you see, about 200 years before this point in Bethel, something happened. Back when Israel first divided and Israel became the northern kingdom and Judah became the southern kingdom, the very first king of Israel, Jeroboam the first, decided that he was going to place a temple in Bethel, in the southern part of Israel, and in Dan, in the most northern part. The reason that he wanted to do this is because he wanted to keep the people in Israel from going down to Jerusalem to actually worship at the real temple. So not only did he build the temples, But he actually made his own feast days. Not only did he make his own feast days, but he appointed his own priests. Not only did he appoint his own priests, but he literally made two golden calves and sent them to Bethel and to Dan and told the people, "This is the God that saved you from Israel." What Jeroboam did in his selfishness to make Israel its own land and its own people, he literally replaced God with himself. He created his own system of worship, and the people followed right along. So fast forward to 200 years later, the same thing is still happening. The people are still not following God. The people have not changed their ways. They might think that they're following God, but based on their actions, you can see the God that they're truly following. This is the problem that Amos is faced with. He is in a land where he is fulfilling the purpose that God has given him, but he is surrounded by people that have ignored the true purpose of God for them. My question for us this morning is, how different is that for us today? The last time I checked, we live in a nation that has changed its purpose from the purposes of God to its own selfish purposes. I'm not just talking about the way that we view immorality, like drinking and pornography and all the things that are in this country that are just disgusting, murder and stealing. I'm talking about just being good to people, talking about just treating people right. When we have leaders that can't stand for things that are right, leaders that we have elected, we've got a problem in this nation. We've got a problem when there are racists that are in this nation that stand against people literally because of the color of their skin, and the leaders that we elect literally cannot stand against it. Leaders, again, that we have elected, got a problem in this nation. When we can't turn to our brothers and sisters that are being oppressed in this land, not just because of the color of their skin, but because of their occupation, because of things that they do, because of just who they are, we've got a problem in this nation. When we can't even look at our brothers and sisters in the pews with love. When we can't even go through a day without arguing with our literal biological sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers and family members, we have a problem. You see, the problem is, again, we have replaced the purpose that God had for us in being a witness, in being a light, in showing God to other people through what we do. We've replaced that purpose with our own purpose. And you have to understand, when it comes to purpose, when it comes to understanding what it is that we're supposed to do, we as Christians have to understand that purpose can only be ascribed to us from God. So when we take that purpose away for our own selfish reasons, we're saying to God, "You're not the Lord of my life. I am God. So I decide what it is that I need to do." That's the problem with selfishness. It's the same problem that we see in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve went and ate the fruit, they were saying to God, "I have the ability to take your place. I have the ability to ascribe for myself purpose. I don't need to praise you. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to be with you. I can be God all by myself." It's a problem. It's a deep-rooted issue, and it's a sin that will send you straight to the lake of fire. So if we're living in a land where not only the people in the nation are viewing life like this, but literally people in the church, pastors and members alike, have this idea of what our purpose should be, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to stand? The reason that I picked this text is because in this book we see an example of what it is and what it means to stand for God in a place where everyone else has put God to the wayside. In Amos, we see an example of how we, knowing what our purpose should be, can stand and be a light for those who do not know and have lost what their purpose is. So when we look at this text and we look and see what it is that Amos is up against, we find that Amos comes up against this priest, Amaziah. It's really interesting because Amaziah's name means God is mighty. And yet here is this high priest whose name literally means God is mighty. And he is serving this system that is evil, this system that is selfish, that system that has nothing to do with God. And yet he feels that he has the authority and the power to tell the prophet of God what he needs to do. He says, okay, this is a problem because whatever it is that this guy is saying is against the nation, it's against the king, and if I don't say something, I'm going to lose my spot. So he writes to the king and says, King, this dude is a problem. He's saying things against you. He's saying things against the land. You've got to do something. If you look at the text, the king doesn't actually say anything. So Amaziah continues and feels like he has to take matters now into his own hands. And so he goes up to Amos and says, listen, seer, go prophesy somewhere else. Go take the stuff that you've been saying somewhere else. We don't need it here. Aren't you from Judah? Since you're from Judah, go take the stuff that you've been saying and take it home. Take it to Judah and make your money for prophesying there. You see, the reason that Amaziah calls him a seer is because there are prophets that are living in the land that get paid. And they get paid to say whatever it is that the king wants them to say. They get paid to say everything's fine. They get paid to say, God bless King Jeroboam. God bless America. God bless Israel. Sorry, got it a little mixed up. God bless what we've been doing. God bless our tithe. God bless these festivals and these rituals that we've made up. God bless everything. God loves us. What you're doing is fine. They get paid money for this. And so Amaziah looks at Amos and thinks that Amos is getting paid to do the same thing. So what he says is, go and get your bread from somewhere else. Go make the money that you would have earned for saying whatever it is you're saying, for whatever reason that you're saying, somewhere else. You see, when you've replaced the purpose that God has given you with your own purpose, and you make yourself your own God, you can no longer hear the voice of God. So when God comes to give you truth, when God comes to tell you to turn your ways, you can't hear his voice because all you can hear is your own selfish desires. Amaziah is blinded by the system that he's in. Amaziah is blinded by the money that he's making. He's blinded by the money that the people that are around him are making, and he cannot hear or see the word of the Lord. What's interesting is what he says after he tells him, after Amaziah tells Amos to go back to Judah. He says, never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Now, I've told you the evil history of Bethel. Let me tell you the good history of Bethel. Bethel is the place that Abraham made an altar to God. Bethel is the place where Jacob laid down his head and had the vision of the angels going up and down the ladder. Bethel is the place where, when the children of Israel were in trouble, they were fighting against the tribe of Benjamin in the book of Judges. They went to that place and prayed to God and went out and fought against their enemies and had a great victory and came back to that place, Bethel, and built another altar to God and worshiped God. Bethel means house of God. And yet at this place, Bethel, Amaziah says this is the king's sanctuary. This is the temple of the kingdom. How twisted and backwards do you have to be to think that the place that should be the house of God somehow belongs to you? But wait a minute. Don't we do this here sometimes? Don't we sometimes do this in the church? We begin to look at the building and we begin to look at how beautiful the things are, the wonderful the wonderful stained glass that we have and the wonderful lights and the building that we built as the Adventist Church built this place. This is our place, our home of worship. Right? No, this is God's house. This is God's place. I don't care how much money you put into this building. I don't care if you literally got on your knees and built this place with your bare hands, brick by brick. This house belongs to God. And when you have forgotten your purpose and you begin to look at yourself, you begin to claim things for yourself that ain't got nothing to do with you. Also understand that this place, the house of God, is not the house of God because of the bricks. It's not the house of God because of the stained glass. It's the house of God because of the people that sit right here in these pews. You see, God dwells inside of you. You are God's sanctuary. You are God's holy place. So follow me. When you have forgotten God's purpose and you begin to fill yourself with whatever it is that you think that you need, you've literally taken God out of your heart. Now think about how it is that you begin to view other people. Again, if I'm thinking that I'm a sanctuary of God, then when I look at other people, I realize that they are also holy, also sanctuaries of God. But when I've already taken God out of my own heart, I lose value for the people that are sitting next to me. I lose value for the people that are surrounding me. So it's important that we remember that purpose. So when we look at Amos, Amos is literally the exact opposite of Amaziah. And so Amos says, I wasn't a prophet, nor was my father a prophet. And there's one way that you could say it, and Amos is saying, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. What he's trying to say is, this isn't my job. I don't get paid for any of this. You see, when it comes to your purpose and fulfilling what it is that God wants for you and being a witness in this world, God doesn't need you to change your occupation. God doesn't need you to change your job. God doesn't need you to come up in this pulpit and start preaching. God doesn't need you to go to seminary. God doesn't even necessarily need you to become an elder or become a deacon or become a Sabbath school teacher. God doesn't need you to do any of that. All God needs is you. And all God needs is your willing heart. You see, to be a witness in this world, to be a light, to fulfill God's purpose, which is just to treat people right, you can do that in your home. You can do that by speaking to your children with love. You can do that by treating your spouses with respect. You can do that by when you're going to your job and being a generally good person. Just by saying please, just by saying thank you, just by being nice to the person that's sitting next to you, working alongside of you, just by showing care for those who are in need. You don't need to change your job for that. You can be just who you are. So Amos says, this isn't my job. As a matter of fact, I'm a shepherd. I'm a shepherd, and I take care of figs that are on a sycamore tree. Now, it's interesting with these figs on this sycamore tree. What you have to do is you have to take the figs off of the sycamore tree, and then you have to pinch them in order for them to actually be good. But you see, back then, the rich didn't eat figs from the sycamore tree. It was only something that the poor consumed. So you see, even in Amos's occupation, he was still caring for those that were under him, that were less than him, that did not have as much money as him. He was still caring for those that were poor. Amos says, this ain't my job. But God came to me and said to me, go and prophesy. It was that simple for Amos. He listened to God. He understood what it was that God wanted for his life. And so he left what he was doing and went and said what God needed him to say. When you look at the time period that Amos actually prophesied, it's not very long. Scholars don't debate if he was prophesying for years. They debate if he was prophesying for months, weeks, or days. Amos literally went to Bethel, said what he said it needed to say, and then went home. When you think about purpose, again, it's not always prophesying. God doesn't necessarily have to come and say to you and give you a vision and say, prophesy this to the church. Prophesy and say this to the president. Prophesy and say this to the nation. No. Your form of prophecy is literally what you do every day. Your purpose was given to you by God when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. When you accepted Jesus into your heart and you said, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in this life. God gave you a purpose that was just to treat others right, to treat others with respect, to treat others with love. The reason I called this sermon Checks and Balances is because when you look at the system, you look at the system that we have in America, where we have the different branches, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, the executive branch. None of those branches are supposed to have more power than the other. It's a system called checks and balances. If there's an executive order and the judicial branch doesn't agree, then they have the power to veto what's going on. If the legislative branch passes a law and the president doesn't agree, the president has the ability and the power to veto that law. You see, when it comes to us and it comes to our purpose and we see the things that are going on in the world, God has put us in this place, yes, to be a witness, but to also check and balance the evils that are in this world. To check and balance the evils that are in the church. And he asks us to do this by simply being who we are. By simply showing love, by simply treating our brothers and our sisters with respect. My prayer for us this morning is that we would take heed of the purpose that God has given us, that we would put away our selfish desires, fill our hearts with love, and treat our brothers and sisters right. God bless you.